Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, the baptism of our Lord as recorded by the evangelist Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is God's word. Please be seated. 2 years before I graduated from high school, a blockbuster movie hit the movie theaters called Jaws. That dates me. And of course, you know, you compare the special effects in that movie to modern special effects, and now you look back at it, and that movie looks positively amateurish by comparison. But in the day, it was a first-class thriller, almost a horror movie, and it had everybody scared to go in the water. And then 3 years later came the sequel, Jaws 2, with perhaps the most famous tagline that was ever written for a movie. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. Remember that? You know, there is something about water that is very foreboding and ominous and sinister and frightening for a lot of people. Imagine losing someone you love to a drowning. Imagine your reaction if your son serving in the Navy was lost at sea. Imagine the nightmares of the people who survive tsunamis. Imagine Bethany Hamilton surfing her way to a championship when all of a sudden waking up in a hospital minus an arm after losing it in a shark attack. Imagine Noah and his family and how they must have felt about water. Imagine the Israelites passing through the Red Sea with the Egyptian armies at their heels and then looking back and seeing only raging waters where there had been charging warriors. You know, in the Mideast, dwellers of the desert often have a dread fear of water, and perhaps it's because, in part at least, due to these wadis, these dry riverbeds, which in heavy rains quickly become these raging torrents and floods that claim hundreds of lives every year. A lot of people who have had close encounters with water could tell you they associate water with uncontrollable fury, chaos, devastation, evil, and death, and therefore fear. Not unlike the devastation that sin and evil and death cause in our lives. I look out at a congregation like this, and I know that so many of you are facing what could so easily be overwhelming floods of troubles and sorrows. Some of you suddenly have to face life without a loved one. I mean, you might as well cut off the oxygen. Others of you are struggling every day just to keep your head above water financially. Can't pay the bills. Fear the future. Or maybe you're all stressed out about an underwater mortgage. Young people are swamped in debt, and yet they're unable to find work for which they were educated. Some of them are maybe drowning in the stress of strained relationships, and still others are feeling death kind of lapping up at their ankles and then their shins and knees and thighs as it comes closer and closer to them as their health slowly declines. And that's just the stuff that I see on the surface in a congregation like this. Who knows what's happening deeper down in your lives? Tsunamis of guilt, perhaps? Over sins that you look back on with horror and disbelief. You just can't believe you did that or said that. Or secret struggles of loneliness and depression and thoughts of suicide that threaten to completely inundate your life. you are all dealing with so many things that could easily overwhelm you, like a flood. The kinds of issues that make joy and hope and peace in Christ sound like a bunch of pie-in-the-sky, empty, happy talk. Well, one Swedish rock band said, life is like a flowing stream. I suppose maybe it is. But if life is a flowing stream, then there are a lot of times when that stream becomes raging torrents of troubles and sorrows, and the water feels very unsafe to us. Frightening. But then we come to our gospel reading today, when our Lord Jesus Himself steps into the stream of our lives by also stepping into the water of His baptism. Now there was nothing particularly frightening about the Jordan River that day when Jesus was baptized. There were times when during the year when the Jordan River could flood and it could become dangerous. But as Jesus stepped into the water of His baptism that day, it was no doubt very calm. It was probably shin deep like most of the Jordan River. It's not much of a river, really. Nothing to be afraid of, not even for those who dwell in the desert. And yet for the Lord Jesus, the waters of the Jordan River were as dangerous as water can be. Because by the time Jesus stepped into that water, it had become a cesspool of all of the adulteries and the thefts and the cursings and the idolatries and the lies and the covetousness and the swearing and the lusts of all of those sinners who had washed there before Him. When we were children, we had to share our bathwater. There were six of us in the family. Some of the older folks remember sharing bathwater with your siblings? We had to share our bathwater. And when you got old enough to realize what was happening, you did not want to bathe last. And to have to sit there in that water where everyone else had bathed before you, and it was just yuck. That's the water Jesus stepped into. Polluted with all of the sewage of our sinful, fallen, rebellious lives. And all of that is going to cling to Jesus for the rest of His years and His ministry. Isaiah said He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And Peter said He Himself bore our sins. So it definitely was not safe for Jesus to go into the waters of His baptism. By stepping into that toxic brew of our sins and our sorrows and our sicknesses, Jesus Himself enters into everything that it means to be a human being in this fallen, broken creation. He too will be deluged with problems. He too will be swamped with demands upon His time. He too will face a cascade of bad news in His life. Tragedies, the death of loved ones, all the same things that you're dealing with, except He did it without sin, so that as with His baptism, so with His life, He might fulfill the righteous requirements of God's law for us. And then in the end, it got worse. He got all caught up in this swirling flood of cowardice and betrayal and hatred and false accusations and violence and injustice that got Him tortured and crucified. And on the cross, He's drowning as a rising tide of sin comes up around Him. Our diseases, our infirmities, our misplaced priorities, our curses and swearing, our lusts, our adulteries, our idolatries, our thefts, all swelling up and drowning Him until He cries out like David in Psalm 69, "The waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the floods sweep over me." That's Psalm 69. You thought that psalm applied to you, the way you feel sometimes when your troubles are sweeping over you. And it does apply to you. But isn't it good to know? Before you ever experienced what it is to drown in an ocean of troubles, Jesus stepped into that water before you. Until finally that tide of evil completely swept over him and he died the death that we deserved. But to hold the Son of God down in death must have been like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. Because before long, he popped up again in the resurrection. And now, as the one who has been through these waters and has emerged again alive, he can tell you with authority, it's safe for you now. It's safe to go into the water. Don't be afraid. Yeah, sometimes the streams of our lives are going to be floods of evil and troubles and heartaches. But we are baptized into Christ. And buoyed by Him and by the power of His resurrection, we will not be overwhelmed. Listen carefully to God's promise to His people through Isaiah. Isaiah 43. O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. You know what that means? He's going to deliver us from every evil. Every evil. He's going to reach down and pull us up out of the flood. That's His promise. 2 Timothy. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. You know, we once took a trip to Michigan's Upper Peninsula. A number of years back when the kids were all still little, we were taking these family vacations. And someone up there told us about this remote little lake up there in the UP called Pretty Lake, and they said it was really beautiful. Of course, it's called Pretty Lake, right? So it's beautiful. It was good for swimming. And we wanted to go swimming. So we decided we'd try to go find it. And sure enough, we found it. I mean, it wasn't easy to find it. All back these dirt roads. This is before GPS. And we found this pretty little lake, secluded. It was gorgeous. And we walked up to the edge of the water and stepped in, and the water was frigid. This is close to Lake Superior now. And I remember thinking, we didn't come all this distance just to stand here in the water. We came here to swim. So I took the plunge. It was more like a polar plunge, really. But, you know, after a little while, it got to be kind of tolerable. I came back up on shore and said to the kids, yeah, it's cold, but come on in. You're going to be fine. And they did, and we had a great time together. Not a real long time, but a great time. A great time. Yeah, we felt the cold. But despite the cold, we enjoyed the gifts of one another that God had given us. And yes, in the stream of your life, you are going to feel the chill of relationships that have gone cold, of tsunamis of trouble and trials and swirling sorrows of loss. And you're going to feel the rising tide of guilt and shame over things you did and said in the past. Baptism into Jesus Christ is not immunity from these things, but it is deliverance. Just as the Father reached down and pulled up His Son and delivered Him from death, we will be delivered from the issues that are swamping us now. And that's what sets us free in the end, isn't it? That's what sets us free to enjoy this life despite the chill that sin has put on things. Life in Christ is good. Did you see it this past week? There was an article that analyzed the tweets of Christians and atheists and compared them. And as it turns out, you know, Christians tend to speak more from the heart, atheists speak from the head, and there were other things that they discovered. But among those other things they discovered this, that Christians are happier than atheists. And why shouldn't we be? Why shouldn't we be? We have the hope that keeps us going. We have the joy that no one can take from us. We have the security of sins forgiven. We have the peace of a right relationship with our Creator. And we have the freedom that sets us free to give ourselves in service to others. And that in turn leads to a purpose of life that just never gets old. And we have each other. They also discovered that Christians are more socially connected. And it makes sense because we have the body of Christ. We have one another to enjoy as God's gift. Is it safe to go into the water? Yes, it is. It's not always going to be calm water, but it's safe because Jesus went into the water before us, baptized into our sins and sorrows, so that we might be baptized into His life and His resurrection and His joy. Notice what the psalm said that we read a little bit earlier. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever, and He will give strength to His people, and He will bless His people with peace. Our God has gone through the flood, and now He sits enthroned as the King above the flood to pull you out, to rescue you from every evil attempt. It's safe to go in the water. Go ahead. Dive in. Enjoy this life that God has given you, the blessings of this life, His mercies which are new to you each and every day. And when the waters do become troubled and you feel like you're drowning, know with the assurance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God in His own time is going to pull you up too and deliver you safely to His heavenly kingdom. And do you remember, by the way, what we sing about the water in that heavenly kingdom? It's a hymn that's based on the vision that John received in Revelation of the New Jerusalem and that beautiful, still stream of water in the New Jerusalem. And we sing these words, "Holy, holy, holy, all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea." You know, I think after a whole lifetime of dealing with all of these torrents of our troubles, one of the most beautiful things about the heavenly kingdom will be that calm, glassy sea. "He leadeth me beside the still waters, and sweet is the calm of paradise the blessed." In the meantime, your God is enthroned above the flood. Be strong and have peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.